Welcome to Humble Brag. I'm Nate Mendel. Oh no, not another episode about anxiety. Yep, another conversation about anxiety. Anxiety with a D. Depression. Anxiety. No, I'm kidding. It's just really hard for me to pronounce the T. I grew up in a Yiddish-speaking school. Anxiety. Anxiety. Look, it may not be real for you, but for the individuals who struggle with anxiety, and that is a huge percentage of our population, it is very real. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter if you're bored of the conversation, it's a day-to-day real thing. And as we grow, there is so much to glean out of the journey itself, because what I struggled with 10 years ago and how I dealt with it 10 years ago has changed. Anxiety morphs. If you outsmart it, it finds a way to outsmart you. And that's one of the fundamentals of anxiety or dealing with it, which is that you're not supposed to try to outsmart it. There's a way to work through it from within. Trying to outsmart it mentally is like trying to tell yourself not to think about something. It's your mind that's doing it. So how are you going to convince your mind not to do something? By doing that, you're just going to make the cycle worse. In order to get into this, let me explain to you a little bit about the anxiety that I struggle with. Now, I can't speak for other people. I did do a lot of research about anxiety. I know what I experience, and I'm not here. You know, my anxiety is worse than your anxiety. You know, none of that, right? Everybody's anxiety, respectively, is horrible. Everybody experiences anxiety in a different way. But we could come to appreciate other people's struggles by understanding the fundamentals, which are that anxiety is complex. It's for someone who doesn't have it, they don't fully understand. It's like someone who doesn't understand mental disorder, and they think that you could just solve it by, I don't know, going to a self-help workshop or something like that. You know, that may help, but you can't solve when anxiety is a real thing, just like a mental disorder is a real thing. It doesn't just get solved by doing something benign that makes you feel better for a moment. One of the fundamental things in empathizing with people who have anxiety is to understand that offering up nursery level solutions won't work. Most people who have anxiety have looked into it, possibly spoken to doctors, possibly are on medication for it. They're the ones struggling with it. You know, like myself, I've watched a ton of documentaries about it, educated myself as much as I can, because I'm the type of person that I have to understand what the problem is in order to feel a bit better. You know, if it's written in black and white and it says, okay, this is what your brain is doing, this is why it's happening, oh, I feel better. Even though I still have it, I feel better, right? I'm that type of person. I have to understand it. Otherwise, it's just worse, right? But understanding it doesn't necessarily solve it. What I'm saying is people who really struggle with anxiety have looked into it, most of them at least. And there is a possibility that there are people who struggle with anxiety and they haven't looked into it. They don't even know that they're struggling with anxiety. But for outsiders, there's a way to sympathize. And that's just to be there and kind of respect the fact that someone else is struggling with something that you don't have and just be grateful that you don't have it. My anxiety is, dynamic. It started when I was about 16, I think, maybe 15, which is a very common age, but it was triggered at a time in life when I was smoking weed. Weed is notorious for making anxiety worse, but also helping, which is so interesting. For some people, THC and or CBD helps anxiety, and for some people, it makes it absolutely worse. For me, it was the latter, and I can't touch THC or CBD. It is almost certain that I will have a horrible anxiety and panic attack if I do. But anyway, I was 15 or 16, and my first anxiety attack kicked in. All of a sudden, I was like, what's going on? Well, nothing's going on. But something out of the blue just kicks in. My heart, mind, am I dying? I don't feel in place. Now think about that for a moment. You might say, you're bugging out. Yeah. But wait a second. First, I don't think I was actually high right then and there. It was during a period of when I was smoking or starting to smoke. What I was on, I believe, was a caffeine pill for some reason. Ah, caffeine. Okay, we're going to talk about all that, right? Food and substance of any sorts. But think about that for a second. A normal human being who's never experienced, you know, who feels comfortable in their body, life's good, I'm young, ambitious, excited. All of a sudden, I'm freaking out. Out of the blue, I'm freaking out. I feel like there's a disconnect. I'm about to die. Something's wrong. My heart's going to stop. My brain's going to stop. Something's going on. And there's no rational reason for it. My fight or flight mechanism kicked in. And that's what anxiety essentially is. It's the croc brain thinking that you're in danger when you're not in danger. And I don't think people who don't have anxiety could comprehend how messed up that is. Try to imagine you're on LSD or some psychedelic and suddenly you feel like you were shot. and you see the blood and feel the pain, right? Imagine how horrible that could be. Well, this is no different. The problem is you're not on LSD. You're not on any substance necessarily. You are just panicking. Your fight or flight mechanism kicked in. You think you're in danger. Your body is starting to react like you're in danger, which means your heart rate goes up and your blood, so many different things start happening with your body. So your body is physically changing and doing things for no reason. Think about how messed up that is. Just in an effort to try to sympathize with people who have that. And then that's just basic level. There are then individuals who it goes to the next level, which is panic, through that happening. And then you start wondering what's going on. Something's wrong with you. And you get into this cycle of overthought and overthinking. And it goes from heart rate goes up. Next thing you know, you're having a panic attack. You feel like you're going to have a heart attack. You're about to die. Now, think about that happening once, but then try to imagine it happening over and over and over again. And you don't know when it's going to happen, how it'll kick in, and there's nothing you can do about it. But wait, oh, you could. You could run to the doctor, get yourself some meds, which a large portion of the population does, and you could sedate yourself. So if you feel like you're starting to have a panic attack or something, you could pop a Xanax or something. And a couple of minutes later, okay, wow. But without that substance, without that drug, which calms your heart down, you're a complete mess. You're not just a complete mess, you're in the worst fear of your life. I don't know if you've ever had, but have you ever been in a dream where you have a horrible nightmare? And when you wake up, you understand that the fear that you felt in that dream is more severe than you would actually feel in real life if the same scenario occurred. I have that all the time. Such intense fear in the dream. And when I wake up, I'm like, what if that same thing happened in real life, I wouldn't even feel that way. So why do I feel it, right? The fear that comes along with anxiety is stronger than any fear you typically feel, even if you actually were in a flight or fight situation. And that's what's so messed up about it. The fear is usually directly related to some sort of existential thought. For example, okay, I feel like I'm dying, but I'm bugging out. If I was sick, heaven forbid, and I knew that I was dying, I would probably not even bug out like that. I go to the doctor, you're dying tomorrow. Calm. Okay, let me process this like a human being. When you're having an anxiety attack, you don't have the ability to do that. That's not to say that you won't see me trying to calm myself down, touching myself, deep breaths. You might see me doing that when I'm having an anxiety attack, but in my brain, I'm not calm and I'm in the worst fear of my life. And I wouldn't even feel that in real life if there was a life and death situation. Anxiety is a sickening phenomenon. So let's continue to explore. So I have my first anxiety attack. I don't recall if it went to panic the first time or not. It may have, a little bit. There's different levels of panic. There's like your heart rate could go up and you're able to calm yourself down. Okay. A couple, like a half a minute or a minute or two later or 5 minutes later. Then there are panic attacks that it goes up and up and up. You'll collapse. You'll literally faint or have a heart attack. Now, I don't know if people actually have such bad panic attacks that it leads to a heart attack. Obviously, if it's that bad, the person will go to the hospital. But I've had panic attack that has left me limp and collapsed on the floor. Now, not knocked out subconscious, but just complete jelly. But let's go further. If you think that anxiety is just having an anxiety attack or having existential crisis, first of all, on the topic of existential crisis, I literally have existential crisis every day by its standard definition, almost every single day, if not every single day, sometimes every hour of the day. There's a direct correlation to people who are overly aware of their surroundings, their body, and everything in between, and people who have existential and anxiety issues. As a human being, I'm very conscious, almost to the point of overstimulation. I struggle being under the sun without sunglasses on. The brightness is too much. There are all kinds of stimulation issues that I deal with that are directly correlated and cause anxiety, cause it to kick in. The things that I observe that for most people would be subconscious observations is not fun. My wife tells me all the time, like, who even thinks of that? Like, how do you notice this stuff? And there's no filter. Everything I think of, 2/3 of which should be subconscious thoughts are fully conscious thoughts. Now, I've learned to live that way. I don't open my mouth about every little thing I see, hear, observe. But the fact that my brain thinks that way to begin with, the calculations that my brain makes on every moment, every scenario, every situation that I'm in, is mind-boggling. There's a correlation between people who have that type of awareness, I don't know, I don't even know what it's called, some type of overconsciousness and anxiety. Because if you observe too much, you're tuned in too much, you're likely to get triggered more than the average person. And that seems to be a reality. I understand that what I'm saying is not very descriptive, so I'm going to try to stick to practical examples, because anxiety is a very elusive thing. When you try to dig down and touch on very specifics, it becomes difficult. It's not straightforward. So let's talk about this, you know, this notion of being tuned in. First of all, body. My body cannot skip a beat, beat faster or slower, or do anything other than its perfect rhythm without me consciously thinking about it. That means that my brain is tuned into my body at all times. Every little tiny benign thing that other people would otherwise not realize and not see, I realize and see. And you might think that's a gift. You know, sometimes I wonder, you know, is it a gift or a curse? And it could go both ways. But in practical life and in this world, it seems to be more of a curse than a gift. But what we do is learn how to harness it and kind of work with it. My muscle can't twitch. My vein can't twitch. There's nothing that my body can do without me being overly aware about it. And if something happens right away, my brain starts thinking, something's going on. What did I eat? What did I drink? What happened? Am I sick? Am I dying? You know what I mean? That's on a body level. I cannot be in a transitional space. I cannot be in a gas station, office building, anywhere without being overly aware of every human being in a certain sense and what they're doing. Now, obviously, if I'm in a place with thousands of people, I can't keep track of thousands of people. But if I'm in a bar sitting at the table, and across the room at another table, a boyfriend and girlfriend are fighting, or somebody's getting violent, or something out of the ordinary is happening, I'm aware of it. Now, I will continue my conversation with my wife, but the fact that my brain consciously processes things that other people would subconsciously process is a reality, and I deal with that every second of every day. Those are just two examples of how my awareness is too high, is on a level that is too high, but it just goes into everything. I can't even explain. I would have to write it down as I experience it. But simply put, it's just too much. My brain is aware of everything and thinks about way too many things. If somebody's speaking, someone I don't know, I will be observing why they use a certain language over another language, why they chose certain words over other words. As I said, like, just the most benign things that any other person should never process. It all gets processed every second of every single day. Having that disposition is directly correlated to how often I feel discomfort and have anxiety, because I'm aware of too much of too many things, and this overthought of things triggers the anxiety. The issue that I'm overstimulated, I have stimulation issues, and I'm overstimulated by things. Smells, textures, lights, brightness, stuff related to sight, almost all my senses, results in essentially my body attacking me all day. Now, there are times when I feel great. There are hours, periods that I feel great. But a day does not go by where what I call my body attacking me in some regard. And I mean being attacked by my body. It's almost like I sense the duality between mind and body, and there's a clear separation, and my body's attacking me. I feel discomfort. Whether it's my heart, my mind, my entire body, I'm always on a quest to feel balance and perfection. And so people underestimate what anxiety is, and I'm just scratching the surface of the pain and suffering that some people experience with anxiety. I'm not even scratching the surface. I could sit here for 5 hours straight trying to explain the sensations that I get, the feelings that I get, the discomfort that I feel. And I don't even have the worst anxiety. There are people who have much worse. So it's a very, very significant issue. But let me not get too carried away in details. And let me say this, that I've always managed my anxiety naturally. One thing I'm proud of is that I never turned to substances, because fundamentally, I believe in natural and spiritual living. And if I take drugs, it helps on a certain level, but then I bug out by all the sensations that the substance does to my body. So it's like this double-edged sword. It may help me immediately, but when it's coming off and my heart, my blood, my brain, anything acts any different outside of what I'm supposed to feel like naturally, that'll bug me out. But those who have anxiety understand that. They understand these loops of thought, these negative cycles of thinking. So I'm a living proof that you don't have to go to substances. I recently watched a documentary on Netflix called Take Your Pills, I think. It's a documentary about Xanax. Check it out. Because they explore the usage of Xanax. And ultimately, and it doesn't matter how many papers I read and how many shows I watch, ultimately what you see is that drugs can help you short term and on surface level, but it doesn't solve the issue. And oftentimes it creates a much bigger issue and dependency and addiction problem. So thank God I've had the strength to stay away from it. Because you have to understand, sometimes it's so bad, you just want a relief. Just, you know what, I'll take the drugs, just, right? But if you push through those times and you find all kinds of other natural alternatives to dealing with your anxiety, ultimately it pays off. Because despite what I just explained, how I deal with my struggles, I'm used to it. This is a daily adventure for me. The fact that when I go on a business Zoom meeting, that I'm not comfortable, or I might be kicking myself outside of the camera just to stay calm and stay focused because I feel like I'm losing focus or the anxiety is kicking in. That's a reality that I'm used to. I'm still living a relatively good life. As soon as you add drugs to the mix, now you created a dynamic that may backfire. So I still feel like it's preferable to deal with things outside of drugs. I'm glad that I've been able to stay away, and I'm continuously finding new and creative ways to manage my anxiety, my existential crisis, and everything that I deal with on a day-to-day without going to drugs. And anxiety and these types of issues, they seem to get worse. While it is true that I learned how to manage my panic attacks and attacks, and I don't have those as frequently as when I was young, the other parts of the anxiety spectrum have gotten worse. They morph. Different things trigger you. Different problems. Like I said, sensory. I didn't have sensory issues when I was 15 and 16. I have them now. So there are different things that grow as you get older. And I'm constantly looking for ways to naturally deal with it. One of the things that work well for me are physical activity. So if you do go back to like the basics in health, a lot of the answer lies there. Food, and I've mentioned this on a previous episode, any type of consumption, it's all about consumption. Anything you put in results in what you put out. So food is a huge trigger, from sugars to caffeines to all types of unhealthy stuff, even overeating. What you watch, right? All the garbage you take in on social media, or the negativity or news or doom and gloom, right? What you watch and consume that in that regard. And what you do with your body. If you're a person who has anxiety and you do cardio every single day for 45 minutes or an hour, the likelihood of you having panic and anxiety is much lower, like by magnitudes. So oftentimes the solution is simply what we already know. We need to be healthy human beings. But the way we live, especially in modern countries and Western democracies, is very different. Being cooped up in a box, that's another reason why I think I'm getting more and more into travel. Now, I wasn't so much like this just a few years ago. I was the person that could sit behind a computer for 18 hours. Now, living in boxes, going to work, repeating, I see the correlation between that and the anxiety, between that and feeling trapped and then it coming out in the most odd ways. Somebody like me may have to live a traditional or different type of cultural lifestyle completely. Maybe I need to start my day with, you know, like at a Buddha temple with an hour of meditation and then do martial arts and only work 3 hours. Who knows? Everything's open for exploration because it's either that or Xanax, right? It's either that or drugs. It's either that or just run to medicine. So I think the solution for those who are going about this journey in a more natural way is to constantly explore what type of life changes do you need to make? Because it doesn't end. I've made so many life changes. I hardly ever smoke cigarettes, just here and there socially. So I quit smoking cigarettes. I quit smoking weed. I do not take any substances. Even my alcohol consumption has drastically declined. I could enjoy a few glasses of wine now, but that's it. So that's a huge help. I stay away as much as I can from sugar and I don't touch caffeine. Because caffeine just speeds up the heart. And as explained earlier, you can imagine what that does to my brain. And then life changes. I'm healthy. I work out. I do all kinds of things. We go on hikes. It doesn't mean that my anxiety is gone. It means that on a day-to-day, I'm living with less attacks to my body as when I make bad decisions. But I still live in a box. I still go to my office, come back home, right? Maybe that's not for me. Maybe I need to live in the jungle. So you might think that's so extreme, like, well, you're going to go change your whole lifestyle and do these crazy things. Maybe. Yeah, maybe I will. What's your alternative? Xanax, right? So I understand why your average person would just go to the doctor and just pick up that medicine. But again, watch the documentaries. I feel like in most cases, it ends up backfiring. The dependency, the addiction, the problems, the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows. It's a world of problem, addiction and drugs. Doesn't matter if you're getting it from your doctor. It's still drugs. I don't find that to be a solution. I find the natural way to be a better solution. And if it means you have to make life changes, big ones even, don't be shy to explore it. Maybe that's God's way of telling you that you need to live a different lifestyle. The drama, the gossip, the news, the social, the city, maybe that's not for you. Do we have any clue how city life affects us? How living on top of each other like this affects us? We have no idea. We don't even understand the ramifications of all of this new age living style. One thing is very clear in the exploration of all of this is that the more you tap into our natural way of living, a more natural way, the way that our ancestors lived, I understand that that's not feasible fully, and I'm not even advocating for that. I like my modern day comforts, but I'm saying as we just get closer to that in every regard, we seem to have less anxiety and anxiety-related issues. Like I said, if you work out, if you stay healthy, back in the day, people worked out. They worked in the field. There were no cars. You weren't driving around. It was hard work. Everything. Getting from one place to another was hard work. Working the field was hard. Everything was hard. Hunting your food down was hard. But putting in that effort, burning those calories, it seems, is what we need to do to be healthy. One of the reasons I'm recording is because it's not a dead topic. Nobody should ever be shy of how old they are when they still have their anxieties. Doesn't matter if you're 20, 30, 40, 50, it's a real thing. And at any point in your life, you can tackle it. You can face it head on. And you could, as I mentioned, find ways in which to deal with it in a natural way. And for everyone, it's different. You have to be very creative, but it can and should be done because you will ultimately live a better life if you do that. For those who don't have anxiety, they have no clue what it is. All you could do is just sympathize and understand that you're around a lot of people who deal with a lot of things that you don't have to deal with, and just thank God for it. It's really that simple. There is another outlook, which my friend often says, is that like everyone has anxiety, they just don't know it's anxiety, or they treat it differently. When I talk about anxiety, I'm not talking about somebody feeling uncomfortable in a situation where anyone would feel uncomfortable, or somebody dealing with life, a struggle in a certain way. When I talk about anxiety, I'm talking about anxiety attacks. I'm talking about the extreme side of anxiety. Sure, everyone gets anxious. Sure, everyone has fears, and sure, your fears overlap the types of fears that you have when, you know, it's fight and flight. I get all of that. When I talk about anxiety, I'm talking about people who struggle. The people who struggle because they can't stop the negative thought loops. Learning mindfulness techniques and all kinds of therapeutic models is a huge help, but the people who ultimately suffer on this level never fully get rid of it. You have your years where you're stronger, then something could come along and kick it back in. You could get lax in your healthy activity, and then it could kick back in. So again, I'm talking about the extreme side of anxiety. In conclusion, I don't have a solution. Like, I don't have the roadmap, and I've done a ton of research on this matter to understand it fully. With all my understanding, the consensus still is that there's no cure for it. Scientists don't fully understand why and when it kicks in. We really don't. It's something that we don't understand fully. Yet it's something that a huge percentage of population deals with. So all of the conversations about anxiety has to do with, you know, like homemade remedies. It's like, let's just hold hands and try new things and understand that whoever's struggling with it, we're all struggling with it together. I may not understand, you know, the nuances of your anxiety and vice versa, but I understand that it's complex and it sucks. And, we're going to make a conscious effort to enjoy life and be positive regardless of it. Right? We're not going to get depressed and run to drugs and think about suicide and try to find a way out. No, this is what it is. We're going to try to find natural and healthy remedies every single day of our lives so that, you know, maybe the 8 out of 10 hours, maybe the 12 out of 15 hours that we're awake, we feel good, or whatever that percentage is. For some, they would like to feel good 1 hour a day. For others, they would like to feel good 90% of the day. But whatever your goal is, depending on where you are on that spectrum, yeah, we're just going to approach it in that positive way. 1 hour a day feeling good versus the entire day feeling bad is good. It's a good thing. It's progress. If you feel good 90% of the day and you're trying to get it to 95, that may be harder to achieve, but that's also huge progress, right? And one day, hopefully you feel good even when you're having anxiety or your body's attacking you. I've gotten it to the point where on a typical day, unless it's really bad, I feel good and okay even while my body is what I call attacking me. I'm so used to it. It's almost benign at this point. I've learned to tone it down, tone it out, and kind of ignore it. I consciously think about it. I can't stop that from happening, but I just dismiss it and keep moving. It doesn't ruin my day unless I get into loops. And also there are other, like for example, if I eat some sugar and the same trigger happens, for some reason, I can't get out of it. So food consumption of any sort is directly related to how we are able to deal with things. Now, if I don't eat sugar and I do a 3-hour workout, you better believe I could dismiss something that's bothering me. Why? I don't know. This is all just from experience, day-to-day, real life. So if you're struggling with anxiety, know that so many others are. I literally have existential crisis every day, like I said. Every day I wake up questioning, what the hell is this? What am I? This is so weird. None of this should exist. How is it possible? And how does anything exist? And God and creation, and but how does God exist? And you just, bah, 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 boom, just take out the fiddle and just, you know what I'm saying? It's okay. We get to this point where we just acknowledge, and this is part of it, I don't understand anything. Right. With all the philosophy that I may learn, all the rationalization and all my values and beliefs, I believe in God and I talk to Hashem and all that stuff. I understand nothing. You know, as Rabbi Nachman says, something along the lines of the epitome of wisdom is knowing that we know nothing. Because a wise person, the more you know, the more you realize you know nothing. It's that same concept. I learn all these things, yet every single day I'll have an existential crisis. And it's different than somebody else, right? Because when you're bugging out, I told you, the same thing that you think when you're not bugging out doesn't bother you. For example, right now I'm not bugging out. So I can sit here, look at the camera and say, how does God exist? How does this world exist? How do I exist? What is this? What is consciousness? It doesn't bother me. I understand that I don't understand it and I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable in my skin. When you have anxiety, those same thoughts bug you out in a way that you can't understand. There's a disconnect. It creates a type of separation that is not understandable unless you experience it. Those same thoughts bug you out to no end. They scare the shit out of you to no end. And why that is, I don't fully understand, but it's a reality and a fact. When you are in a good place and your heart is calm and you're not having an anxiety attack, when your brain is not going to fight or flight, we could have the most philosophical and existential related conversations out there. Doesn't bother me. When I'm in fight or flight and my mind goes there, it does bother me. And it's like that across the board with everything. So the conclusion is that there is no conclusion. That's essentially it. We just have to sprinkle a ton of determination and sheer will on top of the anxiety and in our decision making. And we have to say things like, I will not be controlled by it. I will not let it control me. It will not dictate my life. I will have a good, healthy, and positive life regardless. I may never fully solve my anxiety related issues. And I'm okay with that. I don't understand how this world is possible or how I'm possible. I'm okay with that. Coming to very high levels of acceptance is, I think, the utility that allows for one to easily dismiss intrusive thoughts as they come in. That being said, I understand that there are times when we're more anxiety prone, we're in flight and fight mode, and you can't dismiss those thoughts, and those same thoughts will fuck you up for a few minutes, a few hours. But understand then too that it will pass. It's okay. And in extreme cases, if you are the type of person that has panic to the point of debilitation, you don't have to take Xanax every day. Maybe do go to the doctor and get some medication that you have on standby. So if you feel like an attack of that magnitude is going to kick in, then take it. I've considered doing that, even though I've never done it. You know how many times I've considered talking to a doctor about my anxiety? I've considered picking up medication in times of distress. I never did it. And guess what? Another year goes by. Another year. It's okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. You're okay. We'll all be okay. Peace and love.
Leave a like and subscribe. Subscribe.